The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9.
What if you could blend the classic strategies of investing with a contemporary approach to financial planning? That's what Friedman Financial can do for you. Wherever you are along your financial journey, Friedman Financial has the skills, technology, and expertise to help you make smart financial decisions. Their team of certified financial planners will deliver an independent, objective, personalized plan for you. Let's make 2018 the year you get serious about your financial plan. Friedman Financial. Financial advice in a language you can understand.
Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you. And now, here's the fill-in host of Dollars and Cents, Marion Gilman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning, and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. I'm Marion Gilman, and I'll be here with you this morning to provide financial advice in a language you can understand. We do this each and every Sunday morning from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. from North Shore 104.9 Studios in Beverly, Mass. Mark Friedman, my business partner, is away today, so that's why I'm sitting in. I am also a certified financial planner at Friedman Financial, and our offices are in Peabody, Mass. It's my pleasure to be here with you today, and I look forward to chatting. There are so many interesting things that came up in the news, so we have a lot to talk about, and let's get started. The first thing that struck my attention that I really wanted to talk about today was this great article in last Sunday's Boston Globe, as a matter of fact, about working slightly longer before you retire and what a difference that makes for your retirement income stream. And there's been a lot of talk about that. And as a certified financial planner who each and every day we look at cash flow projections and retirement income projections for our clients. And we look at retirement income projections for those who are very close to retirement age, who are just ready to retire, who are in retirement. So we know by looking at these cash flow streams over and over again that it really does make a big difference. But there's been an academic study that looks at what the difference is between working even slightly longer. And they're talking about working 4 or 5 months longer, not even a year longer necessarily, rather than retiring at full retirement age. So they looked at what if you retired at age 66, which is full retirement age for most baby boomers, and full retirement age for those who are turning 66 now. And that's the age at which you would get your full Social Security benefit, full retirement age Social Security benefit. What would happen if you delayed that retirement to, say, 66 and 4 or 5 months? And there was this academic study that they did, and they looked at what that does to your retirement income stream. And they found that working just five more months, did more for improving your retirement income stream than actually saving 15% more over the course of 30 years. That's just an astounding statistic. Now, we've got to put this in perspective, because what this research was done on was they were looking at the average retirement benefit right now, which is about the average Social Security retirement benefit right now, which is about $1,500 per month. If you delay taking that Social Security benefit, if you delay for each month that you delay taking it from age 66 on, that benefit actually increases a small amount each and every month, and it increases by 8% per year. So if you waited 1 year to take that Social Security benefit from age 66 to 67, your benefit would go from $1,500 a month to about $1,620 a month, a $120 increase, which is no small change over a life expectancy that could go for another 30 years. That is a fair amount of money. Because Americans, in general, have not saved very well for their retirements, they haven't built up large savings in their retirement accounts. As a matter of fact, the average amount in a retirement account is only about $10,000, which is very low. And for those people who are considered to be upper middle class families, in the 80th percentile of income in the U.S., the average retirement account savings is about $125,000. So even looking at those statistics, if you looked at working a little bit longer, because Social Security provides so much more in the way of income stream than your average retirement account savings, the lifetime value of Social Security benefits for a typical worker, again, at approximately $1,500 a month, is over $300,000 over your life expectancy. And they consider life expectancy to age 84. So you're talking, you know, many years of living off of Social Security. So Social Security is going to provide you over $300,000, whereas you might have a retirement savings account worth only about $125,000. So if you were saving just slightly more into that retirement account over many, many years, that actually doesn't make up for the increase in that Social Security benefit. And it is remarkable to think about that. I know many people can't afford to wait longer to retire, but if you can, it actually creates astronomical benefits. If you actually waited until age 70 to collect your Social Security benefit, now age 70 is the last point where Social Security benefits are going to increase. After age 70, they don't increase anymore. So up until age 70, they increase approximately 8% per year, which is almost one-third more. So rather than going back to our example of $1,500 a month, rather than getting the $1,500 a month, you're going to get close to $2,000 a month. I mean, that's a wonderful increase. So you can actually enjoy a much richer retirement lifestyle. But there are several factors to consider by working a little bit longer, and we see this all the time. Think about this. Even working for one more year, if you work for one more year, I mean, the first thing that comes to your mind, okay, I work for one more year, I have an income stream that's going to support me. So that means I don't have to take any money out of my retirement account. So no matter what that retirement account balance is, even if you have significantly more than the average American, or even if you have significantly more than that 80th percentile American that has $125,000, if you don't have to take any money out for a full year, that actually is extremely beneficial, because not only have you left that money in your retirement account, but if we had a year like we had last year, not saying we're going to, but we had great returns on accounts last year, or even if it's at the bank and you're earning even a couple percent, that money continues to grow. In addition, there's another factor in working a little bit longer. You actually are probably still contributing to that 401k at work. So you're contributing to the retirement savings all the while letting it grow. So you're not taking money out, you're letting it grow, compound growth, and you're contributing a little bit more. All great things. And now you're also improving your Social Security benefit. So if that Social Security benefit also goes up by $120 over the course of that year, think about it. You've done several things now to improve the status of your retirement. And as we look at these retirement income projections, so many people will say, oh, you know what? how much is, you know, a few thousand dollars here, a few thousand dollars there going to make? Well, when you take that money out very early on in retirement, it makes a very large difference. Because remember, if we assume that, let's say we assume your retirement accounts are going to grow by 5 or 6% per year. When we project that out over 30 years, that's a significant amount of growth. If you look at that, I mean, those accounts could double in 12 years, say. So in 25 years, it could, you know, quadruple, essentially. So you're looking at fairly large, fairly significant rates of growth. If you took out money very early on, not only have you depleted the retirement account, but you're not getting that growth. And compound growth is one of the best factors for reaching any retirement goals. It is just astounding. The best thing you can do for retirement is, again, if you're already at retirement age and you haven't started saving very early, the best thing you can do is delay your retirement. And I know that's not feasible for everybody, but if you can delay by 6 months or a year, you'll be in a much better position. The absolutely the best thing you can do for a great retirement is to start early. And many of us didn't have that opportunity. Many, you know, 401ks were not around for those people who have been retired for 20, 30 years, who are in their 80s now. They didn't have 401ks back in those, at the very beginning when they started working. But kids nowadays, the absolute best thing you can do is to start early. There have been these statistics around, again, really surprising statistics, but they look at two individuals. So one person gets a good job and you know, at age 25, and they say, you know what, I'm going to start saving towards retirement. So they put away $5,000 a year starting at age 25, and they put away $5,000 a year for 10 years. So they've now saved $50,000 in those 10 years. They're now age 35, and you know what? They have to stay home. They have children. They've got to take care of the kids. They have other competing factors. They can't save anymore. But they leave that money in there, that $50,000 that they've saved for those 10 years. At age 65, assuming they got a 7% rate of return on that money, they'd actually have slightly more than $600,000. Unbelievable. Another person, actually, their friend, couldn't start saving till age 35. They didn't have a good job early on. And they saved the same $5,000 a year, and they saved from age 35 to 65. So they saved for 30 years. They saved $150,000 altogether. Same rate of return, 7%. At age 65, they only have $540,000. You know, it is a huge difference. So starting early and working a little bit longer will do a fabulous job for giving you a wonderful retirement. And since we're all living longer, that's one of the things we have to think about. How long are we going to live in retirement? And we certainly don't want to run out of money. So we're coming up towards the end of this segment. We need to take a break, of course. But we do want to mention that if you would like to sign up for our weekly newsletter, it's called Planning Pointers. It comes out every Friday morning at 10:30 a.m. You can go to our website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Go to our website. In the bottom, click on the tab that says sign up for Planning Pointers. Put in your information and you will get that Planning Pointers newsletter in your email box every Friday morning at 10:30. We're also happy to set up appointments for any listeners of the show. If you'd like to schedule an appointment, give our office a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. No one's there on Sunday mornings, but we will return your call tomorrow morning. We'll be back.
Introducing Mercedes-Benz Van Power. Now you can get up to 2 years of complimentary scheduled maintenance on a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter or Metris van, starting at just $25,995. Mercedes-Benz. Vans. Born to run.
Starting at price refers to base model Metris worker cargo van. Excludes all options, taxes, title registration, transportation charge, and dealer prep fee. Please see your dealer or go to mvvans.com for further details and exclusions.
Currently offering 0.9% financing.
Visit Flagship Motor Cars of Linfield on Route 1 North or online at flagshipmotorcars.com.
Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and host of Dollars and Cents. Heard here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. Each week, I try to provide listeners with financial advice in a language you can understand. And much of my advice comes from real-life situations that happens in my office, Friedman Financial, each and every day. You see, at Friedman Financial, we help individuals and families create smart strategies for spending money in retirement. Our approach is committed to placing your interests first. And best of all, Friedman Financial is independent. And we're a fee-based financial planning and investment management firm. We're absolutely committed to helping you get your financial house in order. When you're ready to get serious about your financial planning needs, give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or on the web at friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D. Financial.com.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
If I had $1 million.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. I'm Marion Gilman. I'm here with you today as Mark Friedman is traveling. We are here each and every Sunday morning to provide you with financial advice in a language you can understand. I am Mark's business partner and a certified financial planner at our office in Friedman Financial in Peabody, Massachusetts. If any of you are interested in having a further discussion with us, you can always call our office at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. So last segment, we were talking about delaying your retirement a little bit, particularly if you hadn't started saving early and haven't built up the outside savings that you might want. Delaying your retirement does a lot of great things for your outside accounts, as it allows them to build up more. And most importantly, it also builds up Social Security benefits, which usually serve as the foundation for many people's retirement income stream. I do want to say not everybody's situation is the same. Many people actually can't continue working. And there are circumstances beyond our control, in particular health. You might get laid off. You never know. But even part-time work can actually add something into the mix. And it's all good in terms of being able to continue with a retirement income style that's going to be comfortable for you. Well, as I had mentioned at the beginning, you know, there were several items that came across my desk over this past couple weeks that I wanted to mention. And one of the statistics that came across was just astounding to me. I believe it's from a reputable source. However, this statistic indicated that 50% of married women don't even know what their husbands make for salary, which is just astounding. That's not been my experience. So I'm sitting here with my producer, Tony, who's fabulous. So, Tony, tell me, what's your impression of that statistic?
It's a statistic that sounds like it came out of the 50s. I mean, the old stereotypical June Cleaver mom at home with the pearls and in the apron, and the husband goes off to work, and his business is his business. And I mean, to me, it just sounds archaic and unbelievable at this in this day and age.
So I take it you and your wife know what each other makes, has, etc.
Yep. Always yeah. have. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. yeah. I mean, it is truly amazing to me that might be the case.
Well, it just makes things so much more manageable, if you will. I mean, you know where everything is going.
Right.
I think that brings peace of mind to
Absolutely.
The household. That organization, I think, makes all the difference in the world. But when people are keeping secrets from each other on on any level, I think it's detrimental to the relationship. I really do.
Great perspective. And, you know, I would totally agree with you. And, you know, so we're not saying here, we're not saying here that each spouse has to pay the bills or be intricately involved with the day-to-day managing the finances. But it's really, really important in today's day and age that you have an understanding of not only what your spouse makes, whether it's a husband or a wife.
Right.
Because we, in our office, we actually see both. We see some husbands that come in that take care of all the finances. We see other couples where the wife takes care of all the finances.
Right. Yep.
And we're talking about traditional couples here just because of the stereotypical aspect of this statistic. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it doesn't matter who takes care of the finances, but it is extremely important that you know what those finances are.
Exactly. If one is, we'll say, taking care of paying the bills,
right,
I think it's important that the partner knows what is involved in doing that if they're ever called upon to do it for whatever reason may be.
That's right.
You know, so being aware of that is fine, and then that follows knowing what's coming into the household.
Right.
So one person may be better at doing the accounting, if you will.
Sure.
In my case, my wife, thank God. but I'm aware of what's going on.
Sure.
It's a mutual thing. It's a partnership.
Absolutely.
You know?
We would totally agree. And, you know, we see a lot of this. So, you know what? There are many spouses that come in that don't want to take over paying the bills. However, it's extremely important that you know what's going on. We have seen situations where one spouse has died suddenly and the other one has to pick it up. And if it's the spouse who never paid a bill, they can be lost almost.
Mm-hmm.
What do I do here? And you know, with today's day and age, if one spouse is paying the bills online, sometimes you don't know what the passwords are.
Mm-hmm.
So all of that needs to be written down and detailed. And it actually is very beneficial if you sit down with your spouse, maybe if it's even once a year, and just say, hey, this is what I do. This is how I pay the bills. Or this is what's going on. Or what if your spouse is injured, mm-hmm, and is laid up for a period of time? You've got to step in and take over, you know, those functions. And you know, we see, like I said, a lot of people who are at a loss simply because they haven't learned.
It happens. I was sitting in the bank recently and doing some business with one of the bank officers, and I could hear, you know, unfortunately, there's not a lot of privacy,
yeah,
in that situation, but I could hear a gentleman in the next office who had just recently lost his wife. And he was at a loss for every aspect of their business, their banking business. He wasn't sure of the account numbers. He knew that was their bank, but he had no clue as to how his late wife had paid bills, etc. And he was, yeah, not involved in any level. And he was lost. I really felt bad for the guy. I was,
right,
trying not to eavesdrop, but it was,
sure,
it was a situation that, you know, is reflective of what we're talking about here.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a very difficult situation. And, you know, one of the things that happened many years ago, and this is probably more than 20 years ago, there were, as you gave that lovely visual of the old-time 50s, I mean, that's so true, because back in the day, there were a lot of men who did not share information with their spouses. And we have heard stories about people who might have a pension benefit due them from their employer. And when you have a pension benefit due to you, you have various options as to how to take that pension benefit. So, and you know, you can take what's called a life-only pension, which means that pension goes on only for your life expectancy. Or you can protect a spouse on that pension. So you might protect your spouse where you say, I'm going to protect my spouse at a 50% level, which means you get a pension number, and let's say you get a $2,000 a month pension. You get $2,000 for the rest of your life. But if you predecease your wife gets 50% of that, or $1,000, mm, for the rest of her life. Or you can go with 100% protection for your wife.
Right.
And there are various options. But it used to be that the person who was working made that decision independently, and that was it. So let's consider the story where, and we've seen this happen, where somebody takes a life-only pension and they drop dead 1 month after they retire. And that is a very real scenario. Mm-hmm. And the wife never knew about it, or the husband, the spouse, never knew about it, never knew about that pension, and they have nothing left. Well, now, before you do that, if you have a spouse, your spouse actually has to sign off that they know you're taking a life-only pension. You can't take a life-only pension unless your wife signs off on that, or your husband signs off on that, either way, because they want to protect the spouse. But most importantly as well, I mean, aside from the fact of maybe you don't know exactly what your spouse makes, you also need to know, I think it's extremely important in any relationship, how much money you have. Because sure. How are you going to make a decision? Right. How do you know? I mean, you know, sometimes one spouse gets it in their mind that we want to buy a boat, or we want to buy a second home, or we wanted to do this, we want to do that. And all great ideas. How do you make that decision?
Exactly.
If you don't know what's coming, if you don't know what you have and what's coming into the household, how do you make that decision?
That's where trouble starts.
Exactly.
That's where trouble starts.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, I have to agree with you, Tony, and I'm a baby boomer, as I believe you are. This has not been my experience with my friends and my contemporaries, mm-hmm. that we don't know what our husbands make, or we don't know what our wives make. We might not all pay the bills. We might not be intricately involved right. in every piece of it, but we understand.
Right. We're aware. We know.
That's right. That's right. And so how do you make, I mean, there are a lot of important decisions that you need to make during your lifetime. And one of the, you know, aside from those big decisions about how to spend our money and what can we do, what can't we do, there are also other decisions about, well, you know, what if, and we see this a lot, what if your adult children need help? What happens then?
That's a whole other scenario.
That certainly is. And you know what? We actually have, our clientele is divided, roughly 50-50, as to some of our clients would do anything so that to help out their children. They would sacrifice their own retirement to help out their children. Others, not so much. You know, they feel like they've worked all their life, they've saved this money, they've built up their Social Security benefits, and they want to enjoy it now. So how do you know, that is a very big decision and a very important decision.
Right. Very personal decision.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's, you can't say one is right, one is wrong. Everyone has their own personal viewpoint about that.
Absolutely.
And, you know, on one hand, you say someone has worked their whole life and they have their adult children. And certainly, if I think in anyone's case, if someone is really in need of something, you do what you can to help. On the other hand, you've earned your retirement. I mean, I know people who put off doing that vacation of a lifetime, or, you know, buying that boat or buying the car that they've always wanted, because they feel like, well, we have to keep the money for the kids, you know. And what happens, I mean, I hate to put it so bluntly, but I think it's been brought up before, where a parent or parents pass away, the kids get an inheritance. The first thing they do is go on vacation. They'll find a way to blow the money.
That's,
I mean,
for sure.
I don't mean to be harsh, but I mean that.
Very true, though.
That's one scenario,
right?
Always the case, but that. So you know, it's an individual thing. If you're happy making those sacrifices for your children, which is fine, fine. But if you're going to do it with regret, say, you know, because that guilt factor always enters in. Well, you know, I didn't take my vacation because I wanted to make sure you had the money. That's a whole other thing, you know, to consider.
That's absolutely true. Absolutely true. But, you know, one of the factors that we point out to people very frequently is that you know, first of all, you need to understand what your cash flow needs are and how well you're positioned for retirement before you actually agree to help out adult children. Because, and again, if it's an emergency, if there's right. some extenuating circumstance, that's one thing.
Right.
However, I mean, and there are ways to give loans to adult children. Mm-hmm. So that's another possibility. But you do need to understand your own situation. But the other part of that is you also want to understand whether you are just enabling the children. Because what happens, and that is not good for either party.
Right.
Because what happens, and we've seen this happen again, that somebody has helped their adult children all of their lives. And when they pass away and the adult children gets this lump sum of money that's left, once that's gone, they don't have anything. They've never learned to manage their money.
Oh, yes,
that's true. You know, they get a lump sum, they spend it as they have their whole lives. They don't have mom and dad to go back to and say, help me.
Yeah.
You know?
The barrel is empty.
Right. Know? And unfortunately, the big saying in the retirement market is nobody is going to finance your retirement.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very important that you understand and both spouses understand what you have, what that means for your retirement. And if it's sitting down and adding up all of your assets and liabilities to look and see what your net worth is, if it's sitting down and creating some projections of what do we need to create a comfortable retirement for us, those are really important things to do before you make any decisions about gifting. And it's really important to do that together and to understand so both parties understand what you're getting into.
Right.
And we frequently see spouses who have very different ideas about whether or not they want to gift to the children and how much.
Right. I'm sure that can be a bone of contention.
It certainly can be in a household. And remember, one of the things that we see along the way is most of the time, you know, whether you spend all of your money or not, there's usually a house left. No matter what happens, there's usually still a house left for the children. And in the New England area, that can be worth a fair amount of money.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much, Tony, for your insights. I appreciate it because I thought it was kind of a crazy statistic. But you know what? Sometimes these things are true because we live in a certain area and sometimes our eyes are closed to, you know, others around us.
Right.
But anyways, we are coming up to another break. So we are listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. Once again, if you want to give us a call at our offices, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. We'll be back.
Bill Haney has announced the 2018 season at North Shore Music Theater. And Mamma Mia, you won't want to miss a show. Every day will be a holiday when we kick off the season with everyone's favorite auntie.
We think you're just sensational, Mame.
She's funny. She's glamorous. She's Mame.
I'll never grow up.
With a sprinkle of pixie dust, you and your family will fly past the second star in the musical adventures of Peter Pan. Then get ready to have the time of your life at Mamma Mia. Phenomenon featuring ABBA's greatest hits that will have you coming back again and again. Then you will be haunted by the dark gothic thriller Jekyll and Hyde. And you can't stop the beat when we end this blockbuster season with the smash hit feel-good musical Hairspray. Become a season subscriber and see all five shows from the best seats at the lowest prices. Book your tickets at nsmt.org and make a memory to last a lifetime.
And welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. I'm Marion Gilman. I'm sitting in for Mark Friedman today. I am a certified financial planner and Mark's business partner at Friedman Financial in Peabody, Mass. So we're here each and every Sunday morning from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. providing financial advice in a language you can understand. And thanks so much for joining us. So Tony and I had my producer Tony and I had a great discussion on our last segment about one spouse not knowing what the other spouse makes, or maybe one spouse not knowing about how much money the family or the partners have. You know, one thing I want to caution you about and that I didn't mention in the last segment is that if you don't know what your spouse makes and you don't know what your spouse spends, and your spouse has credit card debt or some kind of debt, it could be that you're responsible for that debt as well. So be very careful if that partner passes away, or if you get divorced. I mean, you need to be very, very careful. So there are a lot of, you know, aside from the fact that one spouse might need to step in and take control at some point unexpectedly, aside from making financial decisions, there are a lot of reasons why people who are married, they are dependent upon one another. If they file joint tax returns, you should understand what your spouse is doing financially. We've seen a lot of changes now coming into 2018. As in each and every year, certain rules change with respect to how much you can gift, with respect to how much you can save into retirement accounts, all kinds of different small items from the IRS. And one of the big changes this year, since we were talking about gifting, is that the rules for gifting have changed this year. In previous years, or in last year, I should say, in the year before, you could gift, any person could gift $14,000 per year to anyone they wanted without any tax implications. That amount has now gone up to $15,000 per year. So that's a pretty big jump. That's a significant jump. Most of the time, individuals want to gift to children. So we were talking about helping out adult children. And in fact, if you want to help out an adult child, one of the ways you can do that, if your finances say you can, is to gift $15,000. Now, this is each person can gift $15,000. So if it's two spouses, you can actually gift $30,000 between the two of you to a child. If that child is married or if they have children, you can actually gift, again, $15,000 to each member of the family, each one of you. So if you did decide that you wanted to help out an adult child and you had the resources to do that, those gifting limits have gone up significantly. And there's a lot of misconception about the gifting limits, so I wanted to take a moment just to explain what this means. Some people think this is tax deductible. It's definitely not tax deductible. And some people think that it might be taxable to the children. It's not taxable, or to the recipient, I should say. It's not taxable to the recipient. It's not taxable to you, other than if there was tax on the sale of assets. So if you had investments in stocks, say, and you sold those stocks and you had to pay capital gain tax because you made money on them, then it would be a taxable event. But the actual gift is not taxable. What it actually applies to is that the federal government has said that you can pass on, right, the limits have now gone up to $5.6 million when you pass away to anyone. That's the gifting amount. You can pass on an unlimited amount to a spouse, but if it goes to the next generation or to anyone else, there's a limit before the federal estate tax comes into play. And that limit right now is approximately $5.6 million. However, the IRS has also said that you can gift to anybody you want $15,000 per year without it affecting that limit that you can do during your lifetime. So some of our clients will call up and say, well, I want to give my son or daughter $200,000 this year. So you can do that. But if you gift anything more than the $15,000, you have to file what's called a gift tax return and say that you used up some of that exclusion. So let's say you gift $15,000 and then you actually give your child another $100,000. What that means is at the end of the year, you have to file a gift tax return, and your accountant can do that for you. And they state on the return that you gifted $100,000 over and above the $15,000 limit. There's no tax owed at the time. There's, again, not to the donor, not to the recipient, no one. But that affects your lifetime limit. So it goes from $5.6 million down to $5.5 million. So that, you know, if that's okay with you, then that's okay. You know, this is clearly, these are very high limits. And actually they have increased over the years. This used to be a big deal. Probably almost 20 years ago where the exemption came into play at $600,000. So you could only leave $600,000 to the next generation. That's clearly ramped up significantly over the years. So the gift tax doesn't come into play quite as, or the, that limit, the tax on leaving money to the next generation, the estate tax, doesn't come into play nearly as many people as it used to. So that gifting piece of it is not quite as important anymore. But again, it's something to keep in mind as you, maybe as you get closer to, you know, older age and you don't need the money. The other way you can actually gift and you can accelerate gifting is to put money into 529 plans. Because when you can, 529 plans are plans designed specifically for college education. So people set these up for their children, and many older adults set them up for grandchildren as well. Great way to save for college education because you put the money in, it grows tax deferred, and as long as the money comes out to pay for college education, it is, all of the growth is tax free, which is a great benefit. And they also changed the rules on these 529 plans this year with the new tax law. And they've changed the rules such that you can now use $10,000 per year for elementary or secondary school education as well. You could never do that before. Before it was only for higher education. Now they've loosened those rules a little bit. But they now allow, they've always allowed, I should say, gifting for 5 years up front into a 529 plan. So that's $75,000 you could gift into a 529 plan for any one individual. And that's a big chunk of change that you could take out of your estate if you're concerned about your estate approaching, you know, $5 million mark. Remember, once that money goes in, it now grows tax-free as well. So all of the growth on that will remain tax-free for that next generation, or maybe it's the grandchildren. It's a great way to save for college and a great way to fund that college education. In Massachusetts, the state of Massachusetts actually now allows a tax benefit. It's relatively small, but they allow a tax benefit for gifting, for putting money into 529 plans as well. It's on the state tax level, and it's a 5.1%. The state of Massachusetts has a tax of 5.1%, and I believe it's on the first $1,000 for each individual, or $2,000 for a couple if you're putting money into a 529 plan. So. And you have to use the state of Massachusetts plan in order to get that tax benefit. So keep that in mind. Great way to save for college and, you know, new rules on those. So it's important to consider that as you are planning. And it's very important as you move through life to do that estate planning, to get your affairs in order and to be sure that, again, as we talked about before, somebody knows where everything is and what it's worth and where to look for things. We've had several occurrences in our office which are really quite remarkable. We had one occurrence where there was a life insurance policy that nobody really knew about. And the child was actually, you know, it was a father who had a life insurance policy for the child. And the father was ill and the daughter happened to be and passed away, and happened to be looking through a checking account and saw payments to a life insurance company. So contacted the life insurance company and found out that she was the beneficiary of a life insurance policy. She never would have known that. I mean, it was amazing. You know, she was very fortunate that she had, you know, after he passed away, that she actually paid attention and saw this, but nobody knew this. You know, it was a single dad, so, you know, wasn't something he had shared with the spouse and wasn't something he had shared with the daughter. So very unusual. And how many times have we heard the story about people who have safe deposit boxes, and they have stock certificates in those safe deposit boxes, or they have savings bonds. And we've had children, spouses who find all this stuff after a parent passes away, you know, that nobody knew about. So it's very important as you start to plan, and you get older, to be sure that all of this is written down somewhere, that you have some kind of organization. And you might want to not only share it with your spouse as you get much older, but share it with somebody else as well, so that they understand what to look for if and when you pass away. It's been, you know, we really enjoy being with you here and on Sunday mornings and providing financial advice in a language you can understand. If you want more of it, you remember you can sign up for our newsletter. We have a weekly newsletter called Planning Pointers that goes out every Friday morning at 10:30 a.m. We have over 7,000 people who get this weekly newsletter. If you want to sign up, you can get it too. Just go to our website, that freedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of the website, click on the button that says sign up for Planning Pointers, and you will be all set. You'll get the newsletter as well. And once again, if you're interested in any of this and you want to discuss it further with our office, if you're getting ready to retire, if you're in retirement and you want to get your affairs in order, give us a call and set up a time to come in and visit with us. Call our office at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. We're not there on Sunday mornings, but we'll be back in on Monday morning. Give us a call. We'll get back to you and set up a time to come in. So we have to take a break now. We will be back for our final segment of Dollars and Cents. I don't have
ever wonder whether you'll have enough money to retire? Retiring for the Genius is a blueprint to prepare for a comfortable retirement. This easy-to-read guidebook on living your life in retirement is written by certified financial planner Mark Friedman and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 o'clock until 9 a.m. You'll find the tools and templates helpful so you can prepare to make smart decisions on how to spend your money in retirement. If you're older than 55 and expect to spend between $4,000 and $10,000 a month in retirement, Retiring for the Genius is a treasure map for achieving your successful retirement. When it comes to retiring, don't be a dummy. Pick up a copy of Retiring for the Genius at Amazon.com.
Pick up your treasure map for retirement. Available now at Amazon.com. Search Mark Friedman, Retiring for the Genius.
And welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. We're here in the studio in North Beverly, Mass. today. I'm Marion Gilman. I am Mark Friedman's business partner and a certified financial planner at Friedman Financial in Peabody, Massachusetts. Mark's away today, so I'm here to provide you with financial advice in a language you can understand, as we do each and every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 from these lovely studios in North Beverly. I'm here with my producer, Tony, who's just fantastic. He's given us some good insight this segment, a couple segments ago, and it's just been wonderful to chat with him. He always has some insightful remarks, and you know what? It's interesting to hear different perspectives. And that's, you know, in our office, we get to do that all the time. We visit with a lot of people who come through. Our primary clients are approaching retirement or in retirement. And they're all, you know, everybody has the same concerns. And we deal with this each and every day. Do I have enough money for retirement? What do I need to do to improve my chances of having a comfortable retirement? We talked today a little bit about, you know, how to share with your spouse in what you make, where the assets are. Because what if something happens to you? Tony just relayed a story about somebody dying without a will, and that's just terrible. So you want to be prepared for all of this. If you die without a will, your assets go to your closest relative, but it may or may not be what you wanted. And it can be very, very messy. It can be a long, tedious process. All of your assets have to go through probate. It's never a fun thing to do. So you want to be sure that you get your financial house in order. If you need a second opinion, if you need somebody to help you do that, give our office a call and sit down and chat with us. We're at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. We're not there today, but our initial consultations are complimentary. Jody, our director of first impressions, will get back to you tomorrow if you leave a message, and we can set up a time to sit down and chat. So there are a few other things that I wanted to just touch base on today, and one of them has to do with the new tax law that came into effect. So we're going to see a fair amount of changes this year. And for many of you, I believe, at least from what we've seen, it's likely that you will see a reduction in your taxes in 2018. Not the taxes from 2017 that you'll be filing in April of 2018, but for the tax year 2018. Things have changed dramatically with this new tax law. So one of the things that's happened is that many individuals will find it beneficial to not itemize their deductions, to file with using the standard deduction. What has happened is that the standard deduction has just about doubled. So for a single individual, it used to be just over $6,000. It's now gone to $12,000 for 2018. And for a couple, it's gone to $24,000. So many of you will likely find that you don't need to itemize anymore. There are also some changes to the deductions that you can actually use for itemization. And there is a cap on state and local taxes of $10,000. So this is a big change for many individuals. For many people, the biggest tax deduction they have are state taxes, that is the taxes that you pay to the state of Massachusetts, and property taxes that you pay to your local community. And those deductions are now capped at $10,000. So for people who are still working and paying a significant amount of state income tax and who live in a community where they're paying high property taxes, and perhaps you even have a second home where you're paying property taxes on that as well, now that you have a limit on those deductions, that can be a big change to what your tax burden will be. One of the recommendations that I've seen, and I would heartily endorse this, is to check, if you are still working, check out the W-4 that you have filed with your employer. The W-4, and you know what, if you've been with your employer for 35 years, you might never have ever looked at this, because this is something that you typically fill out when you first start working, and you claim the number of deductions that you have. So if it's just you, if you're a single individual, you might have one deduction. If you have a spouse, and your spouse doesn't work, maybe it's two. If you have children, maybe you claim the children, and maybe you have three or four children, so maybe you have six deductions. That can change over time. Whether or not we keep up with it with our employer, it's hard to say. Some people never look at it. We've actually seen people who don't check their benefits with their employer for long, long, long years. We've seen people who still have their parents as beneficiaries of a life insurance policy that they have with their employer, even though they've been married for 15 years. We see people that have ex-spouses as beneficiaries of life insurance policies. So you want to keep track of it, but this year it's going to be even more important to check that W-4 because deductions could be very different. So when you're preparing your taxes this year, if you have a tax preparer, it's worth asking them what they might anticipate your tax burden, how that might change. And I have been cautioned by many of the tax preparers that there will be new withholding automatically on your paycheck, and that may or may not align with your income and your new deductions. So it really is important this year of all years to be sure that you check that W-4, and that can be changed. And the goal here is that you don't want to get a large refund from the IRS, because essentially you're giving the IRS use of your money for a year. So you really don't want to pay in too much. Although, you know what? Some people have different ideas about that. They think it's a forced savings. If that's the only way you can save, maybe it's good. I don't know. I mean, it would not be my first choice. It's not something we encourage clients to do. But you don't want a huge refund. On the other hand, you don't want to have to write a big check either, because that is always disconcerting when you get to tax time. And be careful about that. You should understand, as you go through the course of the year, if you sell a stock, or if you sell something that has a very large capital gain in it, you should be prepared that that could be taxable to you at tax time, and put aside some money from that sale to be sure you have the money as you when you come up to tax time and when you have to pay that tax bill. But it's a good idea to check, and to check, particularly this year, check your withholding. The other item that they have left in this new tax law, and that could be important for some people, is that you can make charitable donations directly from a retirement account, primarily an IRA. So for older individuals who have reached that magic age of 70 and a half, and they have to start taking required minimum distributions, for those of you who have saved decent amounts of money, those required distributions can be significant, because, again, those accounts have increased. So last year we had a very good year in the market, and those accounts have jumped up. So what we're seeing in our office is that those required minimum distributions have increased this year. So everybody's sort of getting a raise, as they might call it. Now, many of you are probably living off of those required minimum distributions, and that's great because you have a good income stream, and that's very important. But there are some individuals who are very charitably inclined and who've decided that they want to give to charity. And one way to minimize a tax burden is to donate to charity directly from an IRA. So there are limitations on how much you can donate, but if the money goes directly from your retirement account to the charity, that money is not included in your taxable income. So it's really a great benefit for many of you, because now your income is a little bit lower because you did not need to take that required minimum distribution paid to you, and you don't have to pay tax on that. So it actually works out very well for many people. So for those of you who are charitably inclined, again, think about that, because that is still an item in the new tax law. So there are a lot of things that haven't changed, but some that have, and you need to be aware of that. We don't want anyone to get caught next year seeing they're getting a big bill at the end of the year. A few other things that you can think about is that there is an increase in the amount you can contribute to 401ks. It's gone up by $500. So again, if you haven't checked your benefits this year, take a look, check those benefits, and see what you're contributing. Because if you can contribute the maximum amount, and as you get older, again, we talked about way back in that first segment, we talked about the power of compounding, which is remarkable. If you leave your money for longer periods of time, what a difference that makes over the course of years. So we talked about an example of $5,000, and it made a significant difference if you save that early on versus saving it much later. If you can increase your contributions to your retirement plan when you're young, then you should really try to do that, and the IRS is allowing you to do a little bit more this year. So again, go back, take a look at what your withholdings are, take a look at what you're contributing to your retirement plan, take a look at what your benefits are. Always a good idea to review that information each and every year. take a look at, make sure you're sharing with your spouse, that everybody knows where everything is and what it's worth and what you can spend and what you can gift. We're coming up towards the end of our hour here. It has been wonderful to be with you this morning. As I said that before, if you would like to receive our newsletter, it's called Planning Pointers. It comes out each and every Friday morning at 10:30. You can continue to receive financial advice in the language you can understand. And if you'd like to do that, go to our website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of the website page, click on the button that says Sign Up for Planning Pointers, put in your information, and we will be all, you'll be all set. You can also give us a call if you'd like at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. If you'd like to set up an appointment to sit down and chat with us, take a look at your financial information, as that's what we do each and every day. We create personalized financial plans for individuals. I want to thank my producer, Tony Baglio, very, very much today. He was great, offered some wonderful insights. I really appreciate that, Tony. I am Marion Gilman. Friedman will be back with you next week. You've been listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.